This weekend, pianist and conductor Ignat Solzhenitsyn returns to Vermont to honor Sheng Yo Shin of the Brattleboro Music Center, the woman who taught him piano, launching his career in classical music. Ignat Solzhenitsyn now teaches and conducts with symphonies around the U.S. and Russia, but he grew up in Cavendish, Vermont. And his last name might be familiar to some. He's the son of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian author who was exiled from the Soviet Union for his writing, which was seen as critical of the communist government. It was a crucial moment in the Cold War. The elder Solzhenitsyn became an international figure after he left the Soviet Union. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1970 and ended up settling in Cavendish, where Ignat discovered classical music. Now Ignat Solzhenitsyn is returning to perform in honor of his childhood teacher, and a disclosure, VPR is a media sponsor of the event. I spoke to Solzhenitsyn by phone and asked him how Sheng Yo Shin helped launch his career.
I think the biggest thing was attention to detail. Reading the text with attention and understanding that anything the composer writes is there for a reason. So whether it's paying attention to articulation, you know, to slurs, staccato, legato, et cetera, and then of course the bigger picture, what then that means together, and taking these clues, what does that tell us about perhaps about the composer's overall intent and his the mood and the spirit of the work in question.
And when you're approaching a piece that you're playing, like the recital you'll be giving in Brattleboro, are you looking at the beyond what's just on the page of the music? Are you looking at the context, the sort of historical context that it was written in?
I do very much. I paused to answer your question just because it's an ongoing debate amongst musicians, amongst non-musicians, amongst the two halves of my own brain, how important that is. Coming from my background, especially being a writer's son and growing up in a family where life circumstances played such a huge role in determining an artistic path for my father. So it goes without saying, yes, that if a composer is writing in exile or if he's writing on his deathbed, how can that not matter and how can it not affect his state of mind? On the other hand, the reason we want to be careful not to overstate that is simply that if it's art, in this case music, worth playing 5 years later and certainly 200 years later, it must be because it's more universal than simply reflecting a given circumstance, no matter how serious.
Well, I want to turn to another aspect of your work and life. You're a guest conductor with the Moscow Symphony Orchestra. And I'm curious, given your family history with the country of Russia, how you view your relationship with Russia now.
It's a close relationship. I'm there a lot of my year. I'm still pinching myself after all these years in that I'm able to go back and forth freely. This was an utter impossibility during my childhood because of the general circumstances of the Cold War and the specific circumstances of my family. And so for me, it's still just a great joy to be able to have that part of my heritage and of my life restored to me, no matter what the political environment is. And the political environment right now, obviously, is tense.
Given that, given the tension between the U.S. and Russia, which is, of course, heightened in the last several years, as someone going between those two countries, what do you think of the way Russia is discussed in the current political discourse here in the U.S.?
I'm not terribly impressed with the level of conversation I see in the press here. I actually find that regular folks, just people I talk to, whether it's after concerts, whether it's on the subway or whatever, something comes up, I find people have a much kind of a more realistic and a more normal sense of what's going on than I find really in the kind of most sophisticated press of the U.S. It's a situation where, from my perspective, these are two powerful countries, obviously, with major interests around the world, with major interests first and foremost in their own security, and those interests aren't always going to match up. In the broad picture, it's normal, but it's kind of a bumpy ride right now, and certainly I very much hope that this will improve as this next foreseeable period of time unfolds.
Your father, of course, was an enormous political figure, and I'm curious, you've dedicated your career to music and classical music. I'm just curious if you view your work, your music, as political in any sense.
No, not in the direct sense. And actually, my father, if I may just slightly correct the premise of your question, was political only to the extent that he or his life circumstances dragged him into it. So for me, music, of course, is far less specific in the first place than literature. And so politics doesn't directly enter into music in that sense. But I would just say that I try to lead my life in general in a way that my father would be pleased. And his most famous and possibly most important injunction was to live not by lies, to live not by lies. And even if we can't be heroic or life doesn't call upon us to be heroic, at least do not participate in lies. At least do not let your actions help that side, wherever one sees it. And so I certainly try to make sure that there is no concert I perform or program that I develop or agree to or participate in that somehow might lead to supporting the wrong side as I see it.
Ignat Solzhenitsyn, thank you so much for speaking with me.
My pleasure, Henry. Thank you for your time.